How's everybody? Oh man, turn to your neighbor and tell him this is it, man. Get it. Get it. We're going to get it. One way or another, you're going to get it. You can get it now or get it later. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it's wonderful to have fresh manna from the throne room. Amen. You know, the Israelites every day looked for fresh manna to come down. Every day. They would run out and they would wait for it to rain fresh manna. And there was just enough for them. See, anything that was left was rotted. Because it was no longer fresh. So they didn't go out the next day to look for what was from yesterday. They went out the next day looking for fresh manna that day. Amen? And so many times God is trying to bring us fresh manna, but we're not willing to receive it. Or we're not looking for it. And when there's an impartation because of what we eat, what is what we become, there is a change. And I can tell you that the Lord provided everything for the Israelites. Everything. And you know what? He's not changed. He's still providing daily. If we're willing to look for fresh, man, I call it rhema. Rhema. I love rhema. Because in this, it's something spoken by the Spirit. And when something is spoken by the Spirit, there's a change. And when it's given by the Spirit, it doesn't bring pride. It brings humble. It brings vision. It brings thirst. It actually brings more thirst than hungry. And we've been talking about converting the soul. And how the soul needs to be converted. And I had all these notes left because we didn't get to finish. And the Holy Spirit says, do you want something fresh? I said, yes. Come on, I'll take you to another place. And he gave me a word that says, conversion's trust. Conversion's trust. And I said, well, I'm ready. Feed me. And then so he began to impart in me so many things that it's just phenomenal of how simple sometimes it is to miss the simple things. We're so busy trying to look for the complex. We're so busy trying to fight for us. We're so busy trying to do all the things for self, that's all he's trying to do is bring something to us that is so simple. And we lose sight of it. You know, the word tells us the cares of the world and the worries and so forth choke the word of God. And they actually choke the fresh manna that comes. And, you know, with the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, so I can tell you that he's already trying to steal and kill, destroy before you even got anything today. That's his function. That's his purpose. Now, you got to ask yourself this. Does the devil want you to be converted? No. So if he doesn't want you to be converted, he's going to do everything he can to get you out of position, to prevent your conversion. In Romans 12, let's go there. Oh. Thank you. There was a conversion. Praise God. To God be the glory. Lift your hands to heaven. Lord, we want to say thank you. Grant us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive and obey of the fresh manna that you're releasing today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
In Romans 12 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. So it's our responsibility every day to give our spirit, soul, and body to the Lord. Lord, I give it to you. Why? Because you can't do anything with it. Only he can. So everything he gives us, we give back to him. Why? Then what he does is he perfects it. Because if you want to hold on to it, you're going to try and perfect it in your own abilities, and you can't. We make a mess of everything. Amen? In verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world. Hello. Do not be what? Conformed to this world. But be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In this, where he says, do not be conformed, but be transformed. Transformed means converted. Converted. Be converted. Don't be conformed to the ways of the world, the way the world thinks, but be converted according to Christ, the way he thinks. So in this, we are made of three parts, a spirit, a soul, and a body. And when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the seed of God comes in, and the Spirit comes in bursts, and that you get a new spirit. Amen? So in this conversion, we get a spirit, don't we? And this new spirit is called the Spirit of Christ in us, but in this, we get a new spirit. So we got the Holy Spirit, we get a new self, and there's the old self. So there's the old man, and there's the new man. And the Spirit of Christ is in us. Has everybody got it? Now, with the Spirit of Christ in us, there's something that has to happen. Because now that you got a new spirit, you must convert the soul. The soul is the mind, the will, the emotions, and the imaginations. And it must be converted. There's another part that must be converted, and that's the body. But that's not converted until the day of death, where you get a new body. This is the full redemption of the price that Jesus Christ paid for me and you, a complete conversion. So that your spirit is converted, your soul is converted, and then your body is converted. David said something powerful. He said, Lord, man, I can't wait till I awake in your image. In other words, when I die, I know I will awake in your image. So in this conversion, okay, once the spirit is converted with a new birth, the soul needs to be converted to interpret what the spirit of holiness or the Holy Spirit now translates to me and you. So now, because your spirit is in communion with the spirit world, your soul is in between the spirit world and the natural world. So it's got to interpret what the spirit is saying. So if the soul is not converted, it doesn't understand what the spirit says. Has everybody got it? And that's why in this process of conversion, there's only certain things people can get. So there's that fight all the time, isn't there, in us? Now, there are levels of conversion of the soul that gains the trust of God. There are levels of conversion of the soul that gain the trust of God. And by gaining the trust of God, he begins to release promises. Without reaching a specified level of conversion, we can't complete the full purpose and destiny predesignated for this life in this realm. Has everybody got it? So there is a process of conversion, isn't there? And in this conversion, which is converting the soul, the mind, which is thoughts, the will of choice, the emotions, which is feelings, and the imagination are things that you see. So that everything in that arena that is converted becomes Christ-like or submissive to Christ. In Psalm 111. In Psalm 111. So the more conversion you allow, your cooperation will allow conversion. The more conversion, the more trust you get. In other words, the more that you're allowing God to convert you, the more God can trust you. And the more he can trust you, the more promises he releases to you. You wouldn't give your keys to someone who can't drive. Keys to your car. At least I hope. Neither does God. In Psalm 111, in verse 10. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Say it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now grab hold of this. So without the fear of the Lord is there a beginning of wisdom? No, because wisdom tells us what to do and how to do by the things of God. And the reason why there's the lack of fear of the Lord is because there is lack of conversion. Has everybody got it? Now, the fear of the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect. Believe me, this is powerful because there are believers that have been believers for 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, and they're still not allowing God to convert their soul. And they still haven't they're crying out to God for promises, and he isn't going to release them until that individual is willing to allow the process of conversion. You will wait, wait, and wait until you die. And you'll go home and say, Lord, why didn't you release this? Why didn't you release that? Because you weren't allowing me to convert you, and I can't trust you. Because the level of trust is the level of promise. Has everybody got it? So he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is powerful. Look at this. A good understanding have all those who what? Do his commandments. In other words, do his requests. So when God asks you to do something, okay. You don't reason, you don't justify, you don't rebel. You just say, okay. Amen? So without allowing conversion to happen, which is going to, then there won't be the fear of the Lord, will there? And without the reverence and respect and honor to him, has everybody got this? There won't be wisdom, which tells you what to do and how to do it. Has everybody got this? This is powerful. So in this, there must be allowance of conversion. You must allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to convert your soul over. That means you must cooperate. Without cooperation, there is lack of conversion. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, lack of wisdom. Why? Because they're still relying on their own strength. They're still relying on their own understanding. They're still relying on their own feelings. See, the conversion must be of the way we think, the way we feel, the choices we make, and the way we see. The more that we allow the Holy Spirit to convert our soul, the more we earn the trust of God, and the more promises are released. Is everybody okay? Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which tells us what to do and how to do it. The lack of the fear of the Lord is because of the lack of conversion. Has everybody got it? And again, the lack of the fear of the Lord is the lack of trust of God. So he won't release the promises, will he? In Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. That's why we have a saying, learn or burn. Because you're going to get burned. So we see here that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In verse 7 it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. And it says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word tells us the Lord chastens us because he loves us. He corrects us. That's why many people reject counsel. They reject counsel because they're still yielding to darkness instead of yielding to light. The beginning of knowledge. He says, fools reject the process of conversion. A fool rejects the process of conversion. Again, the level of conversion, the level of trust, the level of promises. Everybody wants everything of God without paying the price. Oh, Lord, your promises, your promises, your promises. He knows the promises. He's waiting for you to move into place to receive the promise. And that's through the process of conversion. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 9. And verse 10. Now he puts it all together. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So you got wisdom, knowledge, and understanding because of the conversion process of the soul. Remember, the fight of the old self wants to prevent conversion. And the old self is the offspring of darkness, isn't it? It resists conversion. It does not want to submit to light. It wants to submit to darkness because that's where it came from. Amen? The fight of the old man, the old self, wants to prevent conversion. And the new self wants conversion completed. In Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Do you ever, wherever in a place that you know what the right thing to do is, but you just can't do it? Man, I know I should do this, but I don't know what prevents me from doing it. I just don't get it. It's called a spirit. Amen. Nicknamed demon. Psalm 63, verse 1. Did I say 60 what? 61. Okay, turn 2 over. 63, verse 1. Let's speak it together. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Why is the soul thirst for him? Because his soul desires conversion. Because he carries the Spirit of the Lord. And when you carry the Spirit of the Lord, your soul's going to desire conversion. My flesh longs for you. Why? Because your flesh wants a new body. They get turtles, aches and pains too, man. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, he thirsts. You thirst within you. You want conversion. But you got to be willing to do whatever it takes. He gave us the formula, didn't he? Conversion cannot be complete without denying yourself. Without picking up the cross, without following him. That's the formula of the process of conversion. You know, I still love it what he said to Peter. When Peter said, Lord, ain't nobody getting to you but through me. Jesus looked at him and said, how long do I have to put up with you, man? Get behind me, Satan. Peter's like, what? What do you mean, Satan? He said, get behind me, Satan. The only purpose is the purpose of the will of man, not the will of God. He was talking to Peter's self. He called him Satan. He was talking to Peter's self. Because, see, self promotes darkness, submits to darkness, loves darkness, hates light. But the new self wants conversion. Amen? In this, David was crying out for conversion, for completion of conversion. Go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Verse 1 and 2. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. Look at this. My soul. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions, and imagination. My soul, yes, even faints for the what? The courts of the Lord. Why? Because the courts of the Lord are the tabernacle, the outer court, most, the holy place and the most holy place. He was wanting conversion so he could live in the tabernacle. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. His soul desired conversion because of the new self. Is everybody okay? Go to Psalm 143. In verse 5, he says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all of your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer me speedily. See, he wanted conversion of soul so his soul could interpret what the Spirit was saying. So he's saying, man, please convert my soul so I can understand what you say. So everybody got it. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Now remember, the soul is the mind with the emotions, imaginations. Amen? The mind, will, emotions, and imaginations. Every one of those parts of the soul has a voice. Feelings have a voice. Thoughts have a voice. Choices have a voice. And what you see has a voice. Everything speaks. Amen? And the conversion is to bring unity of one voice and remove the other voices that cause division within. So everybody got it? So the conversion of the soul is to bring one voice. And in bringing one voice, we must remove the other voices. Romans 8, 22. 20. Wait a minute now. Verse, how about 18? Is everybody there? Verse 18, Romans 22, Romans 8, Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the what? Glory which shall be where? Revealed in us. The glory within us. Whoa, yeah. In other words, when we are one, spirit, soul, and body with Him, the glory within us is revealed. So he's saying, I consider it the sufferings right now. What's the sufferings? The sufferings that have to put up with all the voices in this realm. And there are a lot of voices in this realm. Not only the voices that you got within that you got to constantly get rid of, but everybody else and all the voices they're carrying. I mean, there's voices everywhere, man. In verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Who's the sons of God? We are. So even creation is waiting for me and you to be converted completely. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. In other words, that corruptive voice, that rebellious voice that's always trying to cause us to not do the things that God is requiring us to do. It's everywhere. Remember, the ruler of this world is Satan. He's got many voices in all places. Even the earth itself groans for the sons of God to be converted so they can take dominion over God's creation and remove the corruption of all the voices. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's us. Carry one voice. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs and together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In other words, we groan for conversion. We want conversion. We want our soul to be converted. Why? Because we have a new spirit from Him. Again, but there must be cooperation. There must be a desire for the conversion. In other words, God will not force you to cooperate. That's your choice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Conversion's trust. In other words, that level of conversion. The more you allow God to convert you, the more He can trust you. The more He can trust you, the more promises He releases to you. Or you'll be fighting in your own strength all the way to your death. That's why He gave us the formula, right? You might as well die now. Die to yourself now. Die now or die later. In verse 3, is everybody there? 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh or in the natural, we do not war according to the what? The natural. For the weapons of our warfare are not natural, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is a memory lie. Does a memory lie have a voice? Yes. So strongholds are voices that promote rebellion. Has everybody got it? A stronghold is a voice that promotes rebellion. He said, cast down those arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Is that rebellion? Yeah. Cast it down. How? I cast it down in the name of Jesus. And every thought, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of the mind of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience of thoughts when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, you can't do that unless you're submissive. Amen? That's where the word says, submit to God, resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil. What's he asking for? Conversion. Will you allow me to convert you, he says. Will you allow me to convert your thoughts, convert your feelings? Will you allow me to convert your choices and the way you see? If you allow me to do that, he says, I'll release my promises. Other than that, there's a level of trust that I have according to your conversion. Is everybody okay? See, the antichrist of self. Self, the old self, is the antichrist. In other words, it's against Christ. Why? Because it's the offspring of darkness, the child of wrath, the son of the devil that fights to prevent conversion. But the spirit of Christ is fighting for our conversion. But again, he will not interfere with your free will. So you may have to go through hell on earth to get to heaven. There's nothing worse than torment, than the bondage of fear, doubt, unbelief. See, when there's only one voice, there's no more other garbage. There's no more criticism. There's no more grumbling and complaining. There's no more rebellion. It's yes, Lord. Or whoops, Lord, sorry. Because you'll make mistakes. But you're willing to get right back in. And you're willing to receive His correction. You're willing to receive His rebuke. You're willing to submit to counsel and stop creating your own under your belief system of self. It's flawed, and it brings a flawed perception of things. 3 John. Oh, hallelujah. This is the day of conversion, man. The day we make the choice where our soul cries out for conversion and we're willing to cooperate. You know, just like an employer with an employee, his whole desire is that they become like-minded. So there's got to be a conversion. So if you have a company or whatever, or, you know, you want them to become like-minded so that you can trust. The less like-minded they are with you, the less you can trust them. It's in anything. It's even within the children. It's with everything. Whether you're playing sports, whether you're a coach, no matter what it is, the whole purpose is to become like-minded. So it takes conversion, doesn't it? It's amazing how we're willing to convert to get money, but we're not willing to convert to get free. And 3 John, verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in what? All things, that you may prosper in all things. And be in health, just as your soul prospers, just as your soul is converted. Do you know the conversion of your soul will bring health to your flesh? For I rejoice greatly, brethren, when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Why? Because they were converting. They were in the process of conversion. The level of conversion, they knew truth. But knowing it and practicing it is two different things. So here he goes again. For I rejoice greatly, brethren, when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So he knew that the process of conversion was accelerating. Because not only did they know the truth, speak the truth, but they were walking in it now. They were walking in it. For I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Wow. As conversion increases, so does sight. So does the way you see things. As your conversion increases, so does your vision, your hearing, and your reception. Has everybody got it? So as your conversion increases, so does your sight, understanding also. To convert is to see. Everyone say, to convert is to see. Because the most important thing for me and you is to see spiritually, isn't it? So, to convert is to see. And what are we seeing? We are seeing truth, aren't we? We hear truth. We obey truth. And we follow the truth. And the truth is not only a person, but this person is known as wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He is a person. The world doesn't see it that way. They think all of that is in a book. But it's not. That's according to the carnal concept, the human precept. But your wisdom, my wisdom, is a person that we're allowing to dwell within us. And he expresses wisdom, understanding, discernment, strength, boldness, thirst and hunger. Then there's that place where we must maintain the level of conversion or we begin to lose it. If we're not willing to maintain the level of conversion, we begin to lose it. Why? Because the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Old self wants to do something. The old self always wants to prove self, protect self, and promote self. I'm going to say that again. The old man, the old self, the servant of darkness, the son of the devil, wants to prove self, protect self, and promote self. The new self wants to deny self, wants to put on Christ, pick up the cross, and wants to follow. Following is the area where there is submission. If you follow the truth, you submit. You not only submit to God, but you submit to his government here on earth. That means you're willing to deny yourself, or else you're constantly in rebellion and the old man is running your life. That means the devil is behind it. Now you may be thinking, I don't believe this stuff. It's because the lack of conversion. You're still blinded. Does everybody got it? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, nobody escapes standing before God. Nobody. We all stand before him. The thing is when you carry the fear of the Lord with you, he stands before you all the time. If you don't carry the fear of the Lord with you, he doesn't stand before you all the time. You have to wait till you do something to get in trouble or whatever. And then he stands before you. Oh, Lord, help me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now, all things happen to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition. Upon whom the ends of the ages has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Whew. In other words, ain't nobody here made it yet. None of us has made it. You can't trust you. And only the allowance that you allow God by his Spirit to convert your soul is the trust that you gain with him, not with yourself. So everybody got it. He who thinks he's okay, best humble himself. And complete the conversion. Because the conversion isn't completed until the day you give up your spirit. Be careful. Ephesians chapter 4. Conversion's trust. The more you're converted, the more God can trust you. Verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And it says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith. In other words, till we all see alike. Everybody got it? Till we all see alike. Because faith is spiritual sight. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the full stature of the fullness of Christ, his character. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carry about with every wind of doctrine or every thought, every feeling, and every emotion, or the things that we see, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. In other words, the more you allow conversion, the more Christ is expressed, the more the body can advance. Has everybody got it? The unity of faith is spiritual sight. It's established by the process of conversion in submission, consistency, and discipline. In submission, consistency, and discipline. And in those areas, we have to be submissive, consistent, and disciplined of His presence, His word, His fellowship, and His government. I'm going to say it again. Of His presence, of His word, of His fellowship, and of His government. Converting the soul to one voice for submission to the mind of Christ. Converting the soul to one voice for the submission to the mind of Christ. Ephesians 6. So faith is spiritual sight, right? Okay. Ephesians 6:16. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? So you're going to let the conversion continue? Are you willing to submit? Are you willing to follow the formula of conversion? Deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow. Praise God. Ephesians 6:16. Let's read it. Above all. Say above all.
Above all.
Above all. I think that gets attention, doesn't it? If God says above all. You know, it's amazing. I was seeing something on the news, and this dude was trying to discredit the Word of God. He was trying to discredit, I guess you could say, the Word of God. Of course, he didn't even know it. But he was trying to say that God's not against same-sex marriage. God's not against this. God's not against that. The Bible never speaks to that. In fact, the Bible is sexual and this and that, whatever. Man, I was waiting for the announcer at least to turn around and slap the dude, something. Tell him, wake up. But I thought, this guy has no idea. He can't even interpret what he's totally taking the Word of God and twisting it and has no idea. And when I saw it, I thought, my gosh. And this is a guy, supposedly, who studies the Bible. He doesn't have the spirit I know. I know he's not been converted. He don't get it. So in this, it says, above all, take the shield of faith. In other words, take the shield of faith. All right? With which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the what? In other words, that's the voice of the stranger, isn't it? So, as the soul conversion processes and continues and increases, and things are becoming now more and more of one voice, and because of that, you're able to see, aren't you? Because you're able to see, hear, and receive. Not from all of these other voices, but from the voice of God. So by spiritually seeing, it promotes vision, which is spiritual sight is faith. So as you'll know, because the Bible tells us that the Spirit tells us things to come. You'll sense in the Spirit the fiery dart coming. You'll know. And you'll put the shield of faith up. Does everybody got it? And it will quench it. I went to go minister in the jail, and I was in another area where there's many unbelievers there. And of course, this one guy wanted to know why I wouldn't quote scripture after everything I was speaking. I told him it was for him to look it up, not me. And I'm not here to prove myself or prove what I know. And not everyone here knows what the scriptures are or would understand it even if I gave it to them. So I want to speak to everyone in a specific terms. And he started going, no, 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 no. I said, of course, he was speaking all this stuff without a Bible on his lap. And even if I was to give the locations, he wouldn't remember it anyways because he wasn't taking any notes. So I sensed the demon of religion and rebellion in him. And so I yelled at him in an area, well, do you read the Bible? And he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Well, yeah, I'm a baby, he says. And I knew that was his excuse because everybody around him said, no, he doesn't read the Bible. And then all of a sudden the chaplain shows up with a Bible that comes in from the mail or whatever. So afterwards, everybody was coming around and I was handing out prayers and so forth. And he was waiting for me. And so I saw in the spirit and I already put the shield of faith up. And he came up to me and said, can I show you something? Can I share something with you? And I said, no. He was like, what? He said, you aren't willing to... No. And I had all these other people waiting. And I was going to quote him the scripture. You must understand the scripture. It says, make no place for the devil. But I chose not to release that. Because it would have put wood on the fire. Even though there was already enough wood on the fire. And my purpose was to quench the fiery dart. So I wasn't going to allow it to even get to me. Because I put the shield of faith up. And I began to speak to the other people that were willing to receive. And he got all frustrated and walked away. And he started cussing and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, he began to manifest. So he proved himself. I said, he proved himself. See, he came up to me to try and prove himself. He came up to me to try to promote himself. He came up to me to try to protect himself. But I saw it all the way through. So I just put the shield of faith up and I said a simple word. No. Oh, manifest. Didn't like that. But this is where we must get to. See, the more conversion of your soul, you're not going to get sucked in. So everybody got it. And it's like I said, I don't have to prove me. I'm already proven. I already have a seal. I don't have to prove nothing to man. You don't like what I say? Too bad. It's not me that says it anyways. You got to take it with my dad. Because I'm his son. So in this, he says again, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts. Those are voices that try to draw you out and promote yourself, promote rebellion, protect, improve. And you don't have to do that. That certainly is not denying yourself, is it? In 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. So you must learn or you're going to get burned. You must allow the process of conversion. And you are able to get conversion's trust, where God begins to trust you more and release things. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, do not lose heart. Verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, even if our truth is veiled, in other words, it's the people who are not receiving. It is veiled to those who are perishing. They are dying and they're decaying and headed on their way to hell. But even if our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. In other words, whose soul has not been converted. Or resisting conversion. Or whose soul has been converted, but has now gone backwards. The increase has ceased, and now they're starting to decrease in conversion. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The God of this age hates the conversion process. He is Satan and his kingdom. He hates. Oh, he don't mind if you accept Jesus. He don't even mind if you go out and tell people about Jesus. Because if you're not allowing the conversion process, you'll end up falling and bringing shame to his name anyways. And what he does is he uses individuals to go out and gather for him in the name of Jesus. Even though they're on a string, he lets them go. See, he uses that person as bait. Go ahead, go out and get a bunch of people. Come on, yeah, tell everybody about Jesus. Come on, yeah, get some more, get some more, get some more, get some more. Good, now we got enough. Wham! And then he pulls. Causes that person to fall. Brings shame to everywhere else. Why? Because that individual would not allow the process of conversion. Allowed self to overcome. The offspring of darkness. The son of the devil. Pride. The father of pride. Is everybody okay? Romans 15. So the devil don't matter. He don't care about everything else, but he does not want your conversion to proceed or increase. Because he fears you. He fears you. He knows that if you get to a level of conversion and maintain that level, that you're going to damage him. You're going to damage him and his kingdom. He knows you're going to do things differently now. You're going to live differently. You're going to think differently. You're going to think more like God. You're going to see more like God. Not that we are God, but we're his offspring. And he would love to have father-like son or father-like daughter, doesn't he? He wants us to be like-minded with him. In Romans 15, is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 1, let's speak it together. We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded. Hello. Can there be a like-mindedness without the process of conversion? No. It's impossible. And what the enemy does is he tries to either prevent you from it or stop you from it. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One mind and one mouth. Not the mouth of the devil. Not the mouth of perversion, not the mouth of doubt, not the mouth of fear, not the mouth of unbelief, but the mouth of Christ with the mind of Christ. That will not happen until you allow complete conversion or the process of conversion. So everybody got it? And it is, the process is deny self. So the process of conversion reaches a level of trust with God. You're not going to go around saying, I'm going to do great things with God or for God. Amen. When you can't even submit to the little things. 2 Timothy 3. That's just stinking pride. And that's also the area of self. Self is still running that life. So everybody got it? 2 Timothy 3. And then we have one more scripture and we'll close. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Let's speak it together. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You know, suffering persecution, it's not just outwardly, it's inwardly from those voices. You know, you think about it. What voice? The voice of thoughts, the voice of sight, those voices of the soul that you're trying to remove, muzzle, and come into one voice. Those voices will persecute you. They'll try to convince you you're on the wrong path. They'll try to convince you you're on the right path when you're on the wrong one. They'll try to convince you that God knows your heart and everything's going to work okay. Just keep doing what you're doing. That's not true. Doing what you're doing will cause you to go backwards in that condition. You must progress in conversion, or you will not progress in trust nor promises. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Welcome to the earth. It's the lake of voices, man. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll close here. Conversion's trust. In verse 1, you therefore, my child, my son, my daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men or women who will be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare. Are you in warfare? Yeah. Oh, you betcha. That's a battle going on, man. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, the affairs of emotional attachments, the affairs that these voices are connected with according to world standards. That he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he cannot be crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The rules are the law of the process of conversion. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow him. The affairs of this world are emotional attachments, voices. It's our responsibility to sever them, to remove them. He's given us the power, the authority to do these things. You know, people cry out to God all day long. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Help me for this. Help me for that. You know what he does when you cry out to him? He puts you in a place to learn. So if you're not willing to learn here, you're going to end up going somewhere else to learn. And if you're not willing to learn there, you're going to go somewhere else to learn. He is going to constantly put you in a place to learn. So in the transition of going from one place to another, I hope you don't die. You might as well learn and quit getting burned. You might as well do it now and quit playing games. Amen? We're on a cutting edge of tremendous things getting ready to happen. We must be ready and prepared. And self isn't going to do it. Only denial self will make it. Amen? Praise God. Conversion's trust. We'll either earn his trust or lose it. Remember, what you associate with is what you become. What you agreement is what you'll be judged on. It's amazing to me what's happening right now. It's amazing. And the shift of everything. It's like this whole country is going to be pulled like a sock. It's pulled inside out. People are not going to know what to do. They're not going to know how to surrender. They're not going to know anything. Even parts of the body of Christ that are still in rebellion. But I'm telling you, God is raising up individuals. He's calling those who've been wounded, casualties of wars, who've been soldiers, to come back and get straightened up, cleaned up, filled up, and come to a willingness of complete conversion. It's last opportunity. It's time. The time is now. Amen. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for your mercies and grace. Let this word of your seed be imparted in us, and I pray will produce the fear of the Lord, a desire for conversion, a willingness to deny self and to destroy the past, that we can live from the future, no longer from the past, and its associations, entanglements, and affairs of this world, but live with one voice and one mind. The mind and the voice of Christ completely pleasing you in all of our days. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen.